From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 30th day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chip Nellinger at Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He's out of Morton, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear Emerson Nafziger's thoughts about the growing season and one of the check plots he had in an irrigation study that yielded 240 bushels of corn to the acre. And as we close out our half hour, we'll check the weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day with the nearby December soft red winter wheat 6.25 cents lower at $6.75. March at 686.5, down 6 in the May at $6.92, a nickel lower. July of next year at 685.25. That's the harvest month, down 4.25 cents for the soft red. The hard red December at 747.75, down 4. And the July at 725, down 3.25. December corn futures, a penny and 3/4 lower at $4.30 and a quarter on the settlement price. March at 441.75, 2.5 cents lower. And May corn, 450, down 2.75. July, 457.25, 2.75 lower. And December contract at 472 for next year, down 3 cents. November beans, $12.87.5, up 8.5 cents. January at 1276.5, up 5.75. The March contract in the bean pit at 1260.75, up 6. And May futures, 1247, 5.25 higher. And the July at 1242.5, up 5.5 cents. November beans of next year at $11.69, a nickel higher for the day. Bean meal futures at 411.80 in the December, up a dollar. Bean oil at 41.62, 65 cents higher on the afternoon. Here's how the live cattle finished in the nearby contract at 133.35 in the October, down a nickel for the day. December at 133.12.5. $1.15 lower. Feeder cattle finished at 165.22.5, down 20 cents in November. $1.80 lower at 164.95. December lean hogs on the day, $90.40, down 95 cents. February's $1 lower for 100 pounds at $93.10. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil at $96.95 a barrel. Finished down $1.25, or trading down $1.25. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, 4.3 cents of a cent higher, 265.3. Ethanol futures at $1.80.2. That's 0.1 cent higher, and the difference between the two is 85.1 cents wide now, 4.2 cents of a cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.63, 0.1 cent higher on the day, and diesel fuel at $2.98.3, 1.9 cents higher. Gold futures finished $3.80 higher at $1,349.30 a troy ounce, and the U.S. dollar up 0.17 at 79.77 for the afternoon. Here's how the weather forecast comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms in the area. It'll be cloudy, a high of 69 degrees, kind of warm for October yet. South winds at 10 miles an hour. Tonight, occasional showers, a few thunderstorms, mainly after 8, a low of 60, south winds at 9 to 17. And those winds will gust this evening all the way to 20 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall this evening set at 100% in the area. It will remain raining through the day tomorrow with a few showers and thunderstorms. A high of 67, breezy south winds at 17 to 22. And then Thursday evening, a few occasional showers and thunderstorms. Those will come before 8 p.m., then a chance of showers after 8. Right into the 2 a.m. hour, low of 45 tomorrow night. And Friday, mostly sunny skies and 58 degrees. West-southwest winds at 13 to 17 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy on Friday night and a low of 41. And on Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 52. Saturday evening, mostly clear and 33. And on Sunday, sunny skies and 53. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of October, 2013. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Chip Nellinger is on the phone line from Blue Reef Agri Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Chip.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, what did you see in the marketplace that you liked today, and what happened that you did not like?
I'd say two things. I think it's demand related. Number one, even though corn was lower, we saw the bull spreads work. I like that. We're coming into the export sales report tomorrow. It tells me that we're starting to uncover some better demand. It doesn't mean we're going to rally immediately, but I like where we're at, trying to forge a harvest low, in my opinion, in corn. And then the second thing would be on the beans. Same thing there. I think we've got good demand going. The bull spreads work. We were higher on the day. I like the action really in both those markets, even though at first glance you see corn lower. You don't really like that, but the spreads are telling me we're trying to at least put some sort of a temporary bottom in this corn market here.
It's easier to see the demand for the soybeans because the export market continues to be really good. How about for the corn? Where's it coming from?
Well, I think basically every sector. We had the weekly ethanol grind report out today. Another big, big week on the ethanol grind. Ethanol margins are good. So I think that while export demand has bounced and is better than it has been in corn, I think the ethanol demand is really, really strong right now. And I think feed demand even has picked up. And on this break, I think some livestock feeders with high cattle and hog prices are taking the opportunity to lock some corn feed in here. And they've been waiting for this for 18 months or better, and they have it, and they're taking advantage of it, in my opinion.
Is it a case, as the old adage goes, high prices cure high prices? And I don't know whether we want to call this a low price yet or not, but at least demand is building because of lower prices.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And sometimes that takes a while. Unfortunately, for low prices to cure low prices usually takes longer than high prices to cure high prices. So that's the negative we've got here. But, yes, on this break, we're starting to see the demand increase. It's a slower process. It's not just going to be an overnight V type of a bottom here. And it's, you know, let's face it, a week from this Friday, we've got a pretty important report that could still have a really big impact on prices from a yield and an acreage standpoint. Mm. So the story is yet to be told completely on this year's crop.
And those two might be offsetting.
They could be. They could be. That's really going to be, you know, what it boils down to is how the USDA handles the acreage issue and the prevent plant issue. So no doubt, I say no doubt, and there's always a doubt when you're talking about USDA reports, but likely that we're going to see a small uptick in yields, but in our opinion, the question really comes down to how much of an adjustment do we see on acreage due to that pre-bent plant on corn. So it could be a wildly volatile report on the 8th.
Much of a change in the marketplace between then and now, do you think?
I wouldn't think a lot. I think probably more the same, just chopping sideways. The fact that we're at three-plus year lows now in corn, funds have a big short position. I mean, it wouldn't be out of the realm to see a little bit of a short covering bounce into the report on corn, but I wouldn't think that we'd do anything other than just kind of the sideways choppy range we've been in for really the last 4 to 5 weeks here.
Are there any time points at which you would take advantage of the range-bound trade between now and the report, I guess? And I don't know whether you're going to call 440 the top of the range on December, which is just another dime up, or someplace higher than that.
Yeah, I think from a corn standpoint, I'd want to see it a touch higher than that. I mean, if we got up towards 450 on short covering, I think that's probably an opportunity. These beans as well, you know, I think the uncertainty on the beans is with producers kind of finishing up the most of bean harvest here in the area, yields better than expected. Could we be setting ourselves up maybe for a touch bearish bean yield report here on the 8th. So bounces, if we'd see them back up towards or slightly above $13 on November futures, probably an opportunity to maybe clean up a few of these straggling bean sales that are left, especially if your yields were better than anticipated and better than average.
Would you take something out of the bin to sell it at that time?
Boy, if it's in the bin, as far as beans go, this this December-January basis is really good, generally speaking. So I don't know that I'd sell it for cash, but certainly for December-January type movement, if we got back up over 13 bucks on the futures, I think you could entertain that.
You mentioned that livestock producers have been taking advantage of the lower prices for their inputs. Should they continue to do so?
Oh, I think it makes sense. Absolutely. You know, could we grind lower eventually on this corn? Absolutely. But I think it's pretty prudent to at least get a portion of that locked in. You know, maybe the rest of the year and the first quarter of next year, if you haven't done so already, just take advantage of the big break in prices that we've seen. Leave yourself open, you know, as far as not locking 100% of those needs in, but I think it definitely makes sense and is just smart risk management to lock at least a portion of those feed needs in after the big break that we've seen. 3.5-year lows. We haven't seen, cash corn prices this low in over 3 years. So it definitely is an opportunity from a feeding perspective.
We don't talk to you often enough on the air, live at least. Any final word for us before I let you go?
Well, I would say, get ready for volatility based on this November 8th crop report. We've got a large supply of bushels hanging over our heads here. So if we're a producer and we have better than expected yields, be ready for those, 20 to 40 cent bounces in corn to trip the trigger. And it's not too early to think about 14 sales either.
Hey, before I let you go, anything out of the WASD numbers that are coming out the 8th, too, that might be funny?
Well, I think the biggest is the acreage. That's the real wild card on all this. And from a world perspective, it looks like we are into a period where we're increasing stocks worldwide. Without any major problems, we still have a situation where we're year over year increasing stocks. We haven't seen that for 5 years. Acreage is going to drive it, but it still could be a real wild card.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Chip Nellinger. He's with Blue Reef Agri Marketing. Joined us here on a Wednesday afternoon from the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Well, Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the Ag News for the afternoon. Remember, you can always find us online at willag.org.
In agricultural news, CFTC commissioners are voting on the final version of the customer protection rule today, which includes softened language on the controversial residual interest provision. The CFTC proposed the customer protections rules a year after MF Global's collapse left thousands of futures users with millions of dollars tied up in bankruptcy proceedings. The residual interest provision could cause futures commission merchants, or FCMs, to require farmers, agribusinesses, and end users to pre-fund potential margin calls. One of the main changes in the staffed draft would phase in the residual interest and capital charge changes over 5 years. Meanwhile, yesterday, the CFTC voted to abandon a court challenge of a rule designed to limit speculation in commodity markets, agreeing to drop the agency's appeal as it works to advance a revised version of the rule. The CFTC voted to drop its appeal of a September 2012 decision, tossing out the agency's position limits rule, which aimed to curb sharp price spikes by limiting the percentage of the market any one firm can control in certain commodities. Taiwan is increasing inspections of beef imported from the U.S. after health officials there found a shipment containing traces of an unapproved growth additive. A 300-kilogram shipment was found to contain a feed additive known by the brand name Zilmax and barred by some Asian and European countries. The discovery marks the second such case in Asia in the past 3 weeks and comes after Merck & Company, the maker of Zilmax, suspended sales of the feed additive in the U.S. in August amid concerns it causes animal health problems. Earlier this month, South Korea suspended beef imports from a processing plant operated by Brazilian meat packer JBS SA after the country found Zilmax in beef products shipped from the facility. More than 200 agriculture groups have sent a letter to Farm Bill Conference negotiators stressing the need to protect the long-standing permanent farm law. The letter goes against a couple of key policy changes approved by the House of Representatives in its version of the Farm Bill. The agricultural groups stated that the 1938 and 1949 permanent farm laws play a critical role in forcing Congress to continually re-examine farm policies. The House version of the Farm Bill has language that would make the new finalized commodity programs into the new permanent law. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Now, up next, you know, farmers in the area have been harvesting a very good corn crop, and given the weather, many are wondering how good it could have been if it had rained late in July and August. I'll have more on the growing season from the University of Illinois state agronomist Emerson Nafsiger. The corn crop is coming in, and you can call it a bin buster if you want. That's pretty different than anyone expected. It just didn't rain in late July and August. Fortunately, there was plenty of moisture, too much, in the ground prior to the rainfall shutdown. As it dwindled away, the corn crop seemed always to be just a day or so away from losing connection with the water in the soil, says University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafsiger.
So I think what we had was a crop that, you know, just sort of kept going and was probably on the verge of giving up at some point. Once we started to see the crop, you know, not dying early, in other words, it was maturing about when the growing degree days said it should, then we knew that, you know, that it was still getting water and enough to make, to fill the kernels out completely, and that's what happened.
The good yields farmers are bringing in all started during the pollination period. The NIC went very well. Illinois was doing an irrigation study on corn at the time.
We thought this would be, with the dry weather we had after mid-July, we thought that irrigation would make quite a difference. And some people might remember that in mid-August, at the time of the agronomy day, I suggested we might have 300 bushel yields with irrigation in our corn crop. It really looked like a very good crop, and it turns out it was a good crop. The really surprising thing, though, is with a total of 1 inch of rain in August and September, and with irrigation, we added over 9 inches of water during that period. So one set of plots there had 9.7 more inches of water than the other set, and it made a difference in yield of less than 20 bushel.
The shock, then, is that without additional water, without more nitrogen, without a fungicide, the difference between the irrigated and non-irrigated corn was less than 20 bushels. The check yielded 240 bushels to the acre under what most considered adverse weather conditions.
Well, that's a lot of water. 9 point some inches is a lot of water to get 19 bushel yield return. But if we were equipped to irrigate, it probably would have paid for itself. Nitrogen, adding nitrogen along with the water then bumped the yields up even further, and we were then at 277 bushels if we added both water and nitrogen. As I said, we put fungicide on half the plots as well, but it really didn't do anything no matter what else we had added.
277 isn't too shabby a yield, smiles Nafziger, but given the 240 bushel to the acre check plot yield, it underscores the statistical work supporting an optimal yield for economic return, profit per acre, versus the maximum yield potential.
We had some other data come in on nitrogen. One site in western Illinois, we had about 18 inches of rainfall between the first week of April and the first week of June. And so we took advantage of that, went back and put some supplemental nitrogen on somewhere. We had put it on there in the first week of April. And we put it on as UAN, and of course the nitrate can go as soon as it rains. And when it rains 18 inches, you figure quite a bit of that nitrogen might have gone. Been lost is the term we use. Certainly move deeper in the soil than we care to look. But I think when we added supplemental nitrogen, 60 pounds in the first week of June after all of this rainfall, we really didn't significantly increase the yield.
This study was on corn following soybeans, and Nafziger says even after a drought year like 2012, soybeans have scoured out most of the available nitrogen. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the cash grain market. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, should be on the phone line. Who are we talking with this afternoon? I thought that might be the case. They weren't available right away, and apparently they are very, very busy still there at the Logansport facility, despite some of the rainfall that has come. So let's go ahead and take a look at the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service fairly quickly here. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms for the afternoon, a high of 69 degrees tonight. An occasional shower, a few thunderstorms, a low of 60. Chance of rainfall in the area, 100% tonight, and then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms. Storm set at 100%, a high of 67. It'll taper off into the evening Thursday night by 8 o'clock, but it'll stick around for a while. And we'll get Thursday night rains. Friday, though, sunny skies and a high of 58. Friday night, mostly cloudy and 41 degrees. And Saturday, partly sunny and 52. That's a look at the weather forecast. We'll, of course, talk a bit more about what the weather will hold for us. Drew Lerner will be with us in just about 2 minutes here on the Closing Market Report to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Candy Corn Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1815, Andrew Jackson Downing was born. An American horticulturalist, he authored The Fruits and Fruit Trees of America. In 1823, Edmund Cartwright died. He created a machine that improved the speed and quality of weaving. His power loom, which Cartwright patented in 1785, revolutionized weaving, changing it from a manual process into a mechanical one. Later, he would equip his power looms with steam engines, and he would go on to also invent a machine for combing wool. In 1900, the first ever U.S. auto show opened in Madison Square Garden in New York City. In 1918, Robert C. Siemens Jr. was born, an American aeronautical engineer. He pioneered the development of advanced systems of flight control, fire control, and guidance for modern aircraft. In 1945, the U.S. government announced the end of shoe rationing. During World War II, each man, woman, and child could purchase up to 3 pairs of leather shoes a year. In 1944, the ration was reduced to 2 pair as leather reserves decreased. To keep it simple, only 6 shades of leather were produced. And in 1952, Clarence Birdseye sold the first ever frozen peas. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It's the 30th day of October, Wednesday. Drew Lerner is on the phone line from Kansas City to take a look at the weather forecast. He's with World Weather Incorporated. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's wet and looks like it's going to stay wet for at least a day and a half or so.
It certainly does. We have quite a bit of rain and thunderstorms already on radar out there in eastern Iowa, western central portions of Illinois, back into Missouri. The precipitation is just now starting to get organized. So as we go forward through the rest of the afternoon and evening hours, we'll likely see this all intensify, become more of a generalized region of rain. And yes, indeed, we are going to be seeing enough precipitation coming and going over these next couple of days that there won't be much field work. But it's been quite a little while since we've had a big rain event like this, so we'll maybe take advantage of the time that we've got to maybe catch up on a little rest. But it does look as though once the system's out of the way, we'll have just a couple of days that are relatively good across the Midwest before we start worrying about another storm system that could begin to influence the region. That system, the bigger one, will be sometime next week, probably beginning in the western Corn Belt, probably on Monday or Tuesday of next week, in the form of scattered showers. And then probably at midweek, from Tuesday into Thursday, we'll probably see quite a bit of rain back across the region again. Both of these events will probably produce a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of rain in quite a few locations. Today's event, today and tomorrow, we'll probably see some amounts in the 1 to 2 inch range coming out of Missouri and heading up towards Michigan.
The event this week is ushered in by warmer air. How about the one for next week?
Next week, it's a very similar scenario. Both these storm systems are in a southwesterly flow pattern aloft, and so there's a tremendous amount of Gulf of Mexico moisture that is streaming northward, and it's running into some cooler air that it will be coming in behind a cool front that will cut across the Midwest in both cases. And so we will see temperatures probably next week turning a little bit more significantly cool behind that event rather than what we'll see happen this week. This week's temperatures on Saturday and Sunday will be back to near normal with 40s and 50s for highs after being in the 60s and 70s, of course, here today and perhaps tomorrow in some locations.
You mentioned the Gulf of Mexico. Activity there has been kind of quiet for the year, hasn't it?
Oh, my. Yeah, quite a very still year for tropical activity. We've had several storms, but they just haven't been able to hold together very well because of the very strong subtropical jet stream that's been present. There's also been some shear out there, and just the conditions haven't been all that good for tropical weather, and I don't think there's too many people on the Gulf Coast complaining about that.
Yeah, we'll probably pay for that one later. We usually do.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
How about the rest of the planet? What do you see? We have about a minute.
Well, it looks like China is doing very well right now with getting crops in the ground and getting crops out of the ground. In other words, winter wheat planting is going well, but China's actually a little bit drier than it should be at this time of the year, and some of the unirrigated winter wheat is not going to have a chance to establish very well without some kind of significant precipitation. And right now it looks like only some scattered light showers will occur over the next week or 10 days. So we'll keep an eye on that. Now, they irrigate an awful lot of that crop, so we don't want to get too caught up in that, but there will be a little bit of pressure downward on some production if it doesn't rain better. Argentina is taking center stage for the rest of the night tonight and tomorrow. There's going to be quite a bit of rain that will fall across that country. And as you know, there's been a lot of droughty talk out there. Some of the Winter crop, of course, was lost. About 26% of the crop was actually lost because of dryness and freezes this year. And we're off to a very slow start on corn and some of the sunseed planting. Of course, soybean planting will start next week. So we'll look for some kind of benefit from this.